course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams. Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. All I gotta say is, do not go to the mall this week.
Man, yeah, we have a mall here, obviously, but yeah, a lot of people that's like, it's not a problem. We don't have a mall anymore.
You're right. It's a dead industry, I believe.
That's right. But regardless, we are reviewing the movie Forbidden Fruits, which is now available on Shudder. And I would have to say, I like malls. I love going to malls. This is not the kind of store I'd go to anyway, so I'm pretty safe. So, but anyway, before we get to all of our other stuff coming up here in the show, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Let's see. Honestly, now I say it's been a pretty busy week for me, so I've not had much chance to watch anything. I have been playing a game called Gears of War, which is I would put it in the same realm as a potential like a horror shooter of some sort. It's more alien kind of esque, I guess. It's not really alien, but very science fiction-y, but it's a lot of fun. There's a new Gears of War coming out here in a few months, so I've been trying to catch up on the other games because I haven't played like half of them.
Yeah, that's one of those you always hear is going to at some point get a movie adaptation. They keep talking. And
they do. Last I heard, Netflix is doing an animated show, but I'm not sure if that's still going, you know.
And something will happen at some point. So, all right, then. Well, then, I didn't really watch much either. Supernatural. And I am watching some Criminal Minds. Monica, she watches Criminal Minds. So there's been a time or two where I went in and she's already watching it and she gets ready to turn it over. And I'm like, no, just leave this on. And we watched a few episodes. We were kind of alternating a little bit, watching both. I've seen most of Criminal Minds anyway. Most of them, I'll sit there. I'm like, I can remember this, but I don't remember all the details. So, but then I'm still also, of course, watching my Star Trek watch through. I'm into season six of Deep Space Nine. So I just have to. I just started six. So now I have six and seven, and then I'm on to Voyager. So. So lots of non-horror there, but if anybody's curious what I'm up to, that's it. So, okay then, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll have all of our news and other stuff, so stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off at the top here, Obsession is now available video on demand. It's great news, of course, very quick turnaround. I think we actually talked about this not too long ago. I believe it is still in theaters, and I believe I heard that there is a director's cut coming to theaters as well, which I think would be really cool. I would love to see the director's cut. As I understand, the film originally had an NC-17 rating due to some deleted scenes and some extended scenes. So, yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see the unrated version of this movie, the unrated director's cut. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a great movie. I can't imagine making it even better, but that sounds like it might, you know, might add to it a little bit. I'm one of those, I'm so OCD and stuff that it's like, I'm a completist. It's like, I want to see everything you cut from the movie. I don't care if it fits. I don't care if it's good or not. It's like, I'm always one of those, I'd love to see it. Right. And I'd love to just see what you cut. So, but I have faith this one would be pretty good. But this is one of those, we talk about video on demand, right? It's a little high when it first comes out, and then the price drops a little after, you know, a week or two. Yeah, trust me, if you're on the fence and looking to watch Obsession, it's worth the high cost.
Oh, yeah.
Just get it and watch it. It's a phenomenal movie. Amazing.
Absolutely. And it'll definitely be in discussions when we get towards the end of the year and do our year review. No doubt. But Absolutely. So check out Obsession this weekend. It's a good weekend to do it. A lot of people are off for July 4th, so perfect time to crack open a movie and watch them spooky. So
That's right. Watch a little Obsession with your grilled hot dogs.
that's right. That's very good. We're going to jump to our other video on demand release. Well, not video on demand, on streaming. So this is a movie that if you have this streaming service, you can check that out this weekend. We have Ready or Not 2, Here I Come, available on Hulu. We have watched this movie and reviewed it. It's in the archives. Both enjoyed it. It was a pretty decent flick. It was a fun movie. I think we both kind of agreed. We're not really sure if we would constitute this necessarily as a horror movie, but it is an entertaining and fun movie. Samara Weaving did an amazing job, of course, as well as Catherine Newton. But if you want to check this out, it is on Hulu, so probably also Disney Plus if you have that combination subscription.
Again, not really a horror movie, but a very, very actiony movie. It does have plenty of blood and stuff, so I mean, I guess that gets it a little, but kind of makes it horror adjacent. Some great kills. Monica's really looking forward to this. She didn't get to go watch it when I did, and she likes, she loved the first one, so she's very much looking forward to watching this now on Hulu. So I will probably sit down and watch it, rewatch it while she watches it, because it was a fun movie, and I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I definitely will too. It's like Kayla was not able to watch it either when we watched it. So I'll definitely have to get her on that one and see, because she did like the first one. She liked the original Ready or Not. So this is a good one for her too, I think. So, but awesome, awesome. So that's two great movies on video on demand in some way, shape, or form. And then here in a little bit, we'll talk about some other movies that will be coming and releasing. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some birthdays. We've got some good ones this week. July 3rd, 1973. We have Patrick Wilson, of course, known for his role in Insidious and the Conjuring franchises, as well as playing Ocean Master in the Aquaman movies. Yeah, I mean, Patrick Wilson's great. He's got the voice of an angel, and he's fantastic in all these movies. I mean, I love Patrick Wilson.
I mean, it's again, I think every time we talk about him, we're always like, it's pretty crazy, right? Because some of these actors are within horror, known for one franchise, right? They have a franchise, and if it's successful, and they run the course with that, and they're known for that. But he has very two, with the Insidious and the Conjuring, two very prominent franchises, current franchises. Not even like they're one, he did one back, years ago, and now he's doing. I mean, like they've ran consecutively, and it's or whatever parallel or whatever you want to call it at the same time. And
Concurrently.
there you go. And that's pretty nuts that he's. I don't know. I mean, he spent probably the better part of his acting career working on one or the other. So,
Yeah,
but.
it is weird that he was in both of these at the same time. And I mean, obviously he did a great job. I've got no complaints. But I definitely, it makes me wonder, like, did somebody like watch like whichever one came first? And like, man, I want him in my series, because like, I think Insidious came first. I want to say the first movie was like circa 12 to 2012, 2011. I think the first Conjuring movie was 2013. So it's also possible that they had overlapping production times as well. So.
And I mean, also, when you make one, you don't know that it's going to become a franchise. I
Right.
mean, they did one and did the other, and they might have had hopes, but you never know whether you're going to get a whole series out of it. And it just, that's the way it worked. And thankfully, I mean, we've talked about both series quite a bit in different places and times. We enjoy both of them overall very well, or very much. And and he's a big part. He's really good at it.
Absolutely. But obviously, we're big Patrick Wilson fans here. So hopefully, we'll see him again very soon in some other project. But jumping now to July 4th of 1990, we have Melissa Barrera, very patriotic birthday there. She is, of course, known for her role in Scream, Scream 6, and Abigail. I think she's been in a couple other things, obviously, outside of horror. We like Miss Melissa Barrera around these parts. One half of the Carpenter sisters. Really wish they would have been able to follow through on that. But of course, unfortunately, very shitty politics go into whether or not you get a career in Hollywood sometimes. And, I understand some of that bitterness that she might hold towards that industry a little bit. But yeah, I mean, she's great. I loved her in those movies. It's unfortunate we didn't get to see that third trilogy, installment that we were going to get with the Carpenter sisters. But it is what it is. Life goes on.
It is. It's like I said, she did the Abigail movie. I think that was post Scream. At least post the first one, I think. But
Yeah.
so I mean, I'm sure she'll pop up in other horror things, and yeah, I'm always curious what she's working on and what she's about to appear in.
Yeah, absolutely. But happy birthday to you, Melissa, and happy July 4th. And we're going to jump now to July 6th, 1927, a legend. We have Janet Leigh, of course, known for her role in Psycho, Halloween H2O, and of course, birthing the very famous Jamie Lee Curtis. Obviously, I love Jamie Lee Curtis. In fact, I was watching the show The Bear recently, and she plays the mother of the main character in The Bear. She does such a good job playing like a very neurotic, like kind of like fucked up person, like mentally so. And I love that show. I need to rewatch it. But anyways, Janet Leigh is obviously fantastic. She had a very very large career in the early days of Hollywood, especially in the the 50s and 60s. And yeah, I mean, she's iconic in her role as the character that gets murdered, one of the first kills in Psycho.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everybody knows that. Even if you don't know the movie, right? You've seen that still, that clip, that music. Yeah, the shower scene. Everybody knows that. But so that alone, right, gets her props in this. But then we also have to, yeah, we have to give her props for giving us Jamie Lee and what that's brought. So yeah, what a pretty awesome, right? Double props there for Janet.
Yeah, absolutely. But happy birthday and memoriam to her, because I know she's no longer with us. But we're going to jump now to July 7th of 1949. We have, hi there, I'm Shelley Duvall. Of course, known for her role in The Shining, and she did some other things too. But had a very short acting career, all things considered. No, she was Olive Oil in the live action
Oh yeah.
Popeye movie,
Love that movie.
which is a good one. It's got Robin Williams in it, I believe. And
Yeah.
she kind of had an unfortunate time with Hollywood. It did not really work with her in a lot of ways. She I know she liked her privacy, so that's she kind of exited the public eye. And she kind of did her own thing for a while, and then I know that somebody found her, like somebody from TikTok found her, and had a little interview with her, checking in with her, and she was doing good. But then she passed away not so long ago. I mean, she's obviously iconic too. I mean, she's widely remembered for her role in The Shining. She was so very good in that movie. So, always remember that one.
Yeah, of course she's no longer with us either, but yeah, I mean, it's just, again, you can be in an iconic movie that you're known forever, and especially within horror, right? I mean, she could have done nothing else and everybody would have put her on a pedestal just for The Shining, as they should have. So
Right.
everybody looks for that iconic role within their careers, and yeah, she definitely had one.
No, absolutely. Definitely one of those careers that you look back on and you're like, wow, even though it was not as long as some other folks, she definitely left her mark. And that's what I always try and remember her for, is the impact she had on horror as her role in that movie. So always a good time with that one. Actually, I need to go back and watch The Shining. I've not watched that one. Last one I watched was the Doctor Sleep movie a few years ago, and that came out. But I need to go back and watch The Shining. But very good. Happy birthday, of course, in memoriam to Shelley Duvall. And then last but not least, we have another icon of the horror franchise. We have July 8th, 1958. Kevin Bacon, of course, known for his role in Friday the 13th, the original. Hollow Man, They Them, Toxic Avenger, and Maxine did lots and lots of stuff. Kevin Bacon is a very well-versed and talented actor. And yeah, I love him, anything he does. And he, of course, also birthed Sosie Bacon, who was in Smile, right? In the first one.
Yeah, and he's got something else coming up pretty soon, another horror movie, I believe, that he him and his wife, what's her name, Kyra Sedgwick,
Yeah.
they're I think they're in it, and I think they're also producing. I don't know, but I can't remember what it's called though. But I think that's coming up towards the end of this year. So yeah, he's been in lots of great. I mean, he was great in Toxic Avenger. I
Yeah.
mean, just I mean he was great in They Them too. But yeah,
He
everybody
was
likes.
funny. He was funny in Toxic Avenger.
That's right. But everybody loves Kevin Bacon. I mean, how could you not? It's
Everybody loves a little bacon.
that's right. Everybody likes bacon. So yeah. But yeah, hard to believe, man. In the first Friday the 13th, and had a pretty cool kill scene in that. But also had an unfortunate shot of him in the swimsuit that looked a little, whoo, a little much.
Yeah, so he
That bacon was a little crispy.
it was it's, it was one of those things where it's like you look back on it and you're like, man, like this is like the beginning of his career. So you kind of think to yourself, I wonder, was he cool with all this, like, or was this one of those like, okay, I just kind of got to do what I got to do to get into the industry,
Right.
but no, we love him for it. He's iconic in that way, so yeah, but happy birthday to him. It's a lot of cool July birthday. A lot of people born in July. It's weird.
Yeah.
All of these are pretty big names, in some way, shape, or form. So, but all right, we're gonna jump now to our upcoming movie anniversaries. We got a few here. We got July 2nd, 1986, Psycho 3. So a timely conversation when we talk about Janet Leigh. Obviously, she was not in this movie. Maybe
No.
as a flashback, if anything. But for sure not in this movie. The Psycho 3 is pretty good. I
Yeah.
didn't mind it. The Psycho sequels are actually pretty
Yeah.
solid movies,
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I like Psycho. Oh, I like the sequels, but yeah, I like the third one. But pretty good. Pretty good for an 80s horror movie.
Yeah, this is that time where they really just kind of, I mean, I hate to say that they killed it, but they really killed it with those sequels. I mean, like the Psycho sequels, you wouldn't think they would be good, but they were, so I always like to think about that, because I remember we were talking about it not too long ago, and I was like, man, I was like, I've never seen the Psycho sequels, and then I went and watched the Psycho sequels, and I was like, well, dang, those are actually pretty solid. Like, I've been missing those my whole life.
Yeah, especially when you get so many franchises, right, that just seem to do sequels just for sequel's sake. And some of them are, kind of weak. And but yeah, Psycho kept, I think, pretty strong.
Absolutely, the Psycho series, definitely one of those ones you can go back and watch. So it kind of reminds me of the sequels to The Exorcist. I hear that those are also pretty good. So, but all right, we're gonna jump now to July 5th of 2024. We have Maxine again, very timely as we talk about the Bacon Man, and yeah, Maxine's great. Good trilogy ender. I think that Pearl was better than all of them. But X was also really good. Maxine just quite wasn't the same for me, but I did like the movie. It was a very fun movie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think it's also the weakest of the three, but yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, we have a review of this in the archive, so go listen.
Absolutely. Definitely full review in the archive. I think we also did a quick review of X and Pearl in there somewhere too. But
Probably.
jumping now to July 7th of 1992, Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence. I've never seen this one, but I've seen the first one, so I will defer to Dave on this one.
I mean, it is what it is. It's what you think. It's a Maniac Cop sequel, right? Now, they're not rewriting the book. They're not doing anything extravagant, but damn, these three movies are fun, and I love them. I love it as a trilogy, and I always chuckle that name, Badge of Silence. I just like, man, what a time it was. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's not much to say. It's standard Maniac Cop material, and I love all three movies. I love Maniac Cop. He's my man.
That's right, Maniac Cop. But I need to watch the sequels, because I watched the original, which was really good, but with Bruce Campbell. But I've never seen the second or third one, or if there's any more than that. But
No, I think it's just the three.
they're like, all right, we're down to three guys. Very good. We have one last upcoming anniversary, and I have seen this one. It's been a while, but July 8th of 1988, we have Phantasm 2. The first Phantasm movie was very interesting, a very unique film, and then Phantasm 2 is a very interesting sequel to those films. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting when you look at the when you look at that franchise, because they had like five or six movies, and I watched all of them, and they're all of varying qualities. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about these movies sometimes.
It's one of those again, right? They kept making sequels, and they've made quite a few, but I don't know. It's like I love the first one, and I think the second one's pretty. But I've not seen it for a long time either, so it's they all blur for me a lot, because I've seen them all, but it's most of the sequels only once or twice, so a lot of it blurs. But yeah, the whole concept of the franchise is good, but there are so many people, and I'm not judging them. This is not judgmental, but there are so many people there that swear by the Phantasm. Right? They love the Phantasm franchise, which is fine, right? I mean, fuck, I love Maniac Cop. I mean, there's no judgment here. So why we put the sequel out there? It's again, the second one's a pretty good sequel, but this is a very, very popular franchise, really.
Absolutely. Like you said, I don't understand necessarily the hype around it. Because, like I said, I didn't really grow up with these movies because I know some people maybe did in the 80s. But no, it's definitely not one of those movies that I'm like, oh, hell yeah, this is the best movie ever.
Yeah, I know.
All right, I think that does it for our anniversaries. We have two upcoming releases that we're going to chit chat about here. First one, I did not know was even happening, so it's interesting to see. Backrooms, Everything Must Go is coming to theaters on July 3rd, and it features 15 extra minutes of footage added into the film. This is exciting. It's interesting that both this film and the Obsession are both getting sort of extended theatrical releases with additional content. Yeah, I mean, I definitely check this out. I love the Backrooms. We both liked it. We have a whole review about this. Yeah, it's interesting. I would. I'm curious if the 15 extra minutes will add anything to the lore of the film, or if it's just like some deleted scenes kind of in the middle. I would love to see more of like the conversation with like the scientists in the institute afterwards. I would love to see more from that, maybe get a little bit more closure or something to kind of show what else is happening. But otherwise, I mean, I would definitely watch this. I do want to watch this movie again, so I would definitely watch the extended version for sure.
Yeah, and it's I mean, it's such a good movie as is. So yeah, it's very curious of what they cut out of it, right? That they didn't film would make it. And like you said, it's curious to see where it lies within the movie. And if it adds to it, or if it's just kind of more filler, the thinking behind, cutting it. Again, I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff. And like I said, I'm a completist. I like to see it all. But then I love the thinking behind it. It's like, it'd be hard for me as a filmmaker to cut stuff,
Yeah.
because I would be standing there like, no, this is my story. This is the whole story. This is the way it should be told. But they always have this vision, right? You watch a movie and it's a great story and everything. And then you see stuff they cut out, and you're like, oh, that was pretty cool. But they were able to cut it out and not, affect the movie. I'm rambling around, but I'm fascinated by the editing process. And if you have to trim for time, or when you do that watch through and you see something and being able to say, oh, no, that doesn't really add to the story, or it's just kind of slow, or it's dragging it down. It'd be very hard for me to have a critical eye on that, because again, I would be. With my OCD and everything, I'd be like, nope, I want every minute we filmed in this movie. So, but I am very curious with Backrooms, like what the 15 extra minutes, where that lies. And if it, if it changes anything, or if it adds to anything, or if it's just, again, just kind of filler type stuff. It's 15 minutes is an awful lot to be just filler, but, yeah,
Yeah,
so.
I was gonna say, I feel like it's got to be some, at least partially, some important information. But it is interesting. I'm the same way. If I were a filmmaker and I had to crowdsource or however much money to make my movie, and I actually saw an interview with Curry Barker where he was talking about Obsession, and he's talking about how they had to obviously cut some stuff. They had to trim some areas for time. But they also had to trim some areas for content because they didn't want to get that NC-17 rating. Because for people who don't know, if you get an NC-17 rating, it is a strict, you have to be 17 or older to view that movie. Like they check everybody who comes in that theater for their ID. Like as someone, because I used to work in the movie theater, and when I worked in the movie theater, the only NC-17 movie I ever remember there being was that Shia LaBeouf movie. It was called, oh man, what was it called? It was that one where, I mean, oh my God, it's going to bother me now. But anyways, it was an NC-17 movie, and we had to stand at the door and we had to, like, anybody who came in or out, they anytime you walked in that room, you had to have your ID. Yeah, that was a so I obviously they don't want to get an NC-17 because then, of course, that makes it to where you have to be 17 versus where an rated R, you can be accompanied by somebody who's 17. And the movie I was thinking of was that movie Nymphomaniac that he was in. And yeah, so I'm very curious from that perspective, why, are we cutting for this for content, which I don't think was the case for the back rooms. But also, like you said, if I spent all this money on this film, like, I would want every little bit of it in the film as possible. But I understand that there's, issues with, the rating system and everything else. They have to make sure that the movies are rated appropriately and that people aren't watching things that they shouldn't be watching, so and so, for liability and whatnot. But no, I'm very curious to see the back room, see what they cut, and then also curious with the whole obsession thing too. That's all that kind of stuff interests me.
Yeah, me too.
But anywho, we have one other upcoming release. We have a movie called Touch Me coming to Shudder on July 3rd, and it is described as two codependent best friends become addicted to a heroin-like touch of an alien narcissist who may or may not be trying to take over the world. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. This is an interesting concept for a movie. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think that I would have ever thought to myself that, hey, I'm gonna make a movie about this. But I will watch this movie, obviously. We're gonna review it next episode. It'll be interesting to see.
You
And
better.
I better if we're reviewing it. But yeah, no, that's interesting. Again, without Shudder and Screambox, we would not get movies called Touch Me.
That's right. I mean, this is where else are you going to get a movie about an alien narcissist with a heroin-like touch? So, yeah. I mean, I love space, alien, sci-fi type stuff. So, if you got that, with a horror-like atmosphere, yeah, this sounds fun. So we'll see. This sounds, I mean, from just the description, it sounds pretty original.
Yeah.
I've never really heard a concept. So let's see. We'll see how the delivery is. So more on that next episode.
Absolutely. But all right, I think that does it for all of our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. But when we come back, we will have our official review of Forbidden Fruits. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Okay, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It is review time. We are reviewing the movie Forbidden Fruits, which was written by Lily Houghton and Meredith Alloway, directed, excuse me, by Meredith Alloway, starring Lily Reinhart, Victoria Pedretti, Alexandra Shipp, Lola Tong, and others. Those were the four Forbidden Fruits. This movie was released exclusively on Shudder on June 26th. Again, when we came in this movie, we were curious about the name thing. With all of them having fruit names, apple, cherry, fig, pumpkin, of these four, we did get some explanation somewhat on this and a little backstory on some of that, right? It tied into it, and everything. But this was an interesting movie because I watched this movie and it probably the first, almost probably the first half, I kept sitting there thinking, oh, this is not that great. It's an okay movie, but it's just not my thing, and it's not really a horror type movie. I mean, it's got a little bit, right? And it's got some witches in it, and there's some stuff, and I don't know that some of the I can't remember the movie now. Shoot, I don't remember. There's a movie we reviewed recently where this was the same concept. It's like some of these characters are just irritating me, right? These are the type of people in real life that I'm like, ugh, I can't even be in the same room with you. You're so annoying, and it did definitely pick up in that second half-ish right, where it got more intense, got a little more into the horror stuff. Things started happening. There were some definitely some how do I want to describe it? Cringy moments, not in a bad way, cringe, but like make you go, "Woo," you know, that I didn't really expect to come in this movie per se. And I don't, well, I don't guess it gives away specifics, but you are in a mall, and a mall does have escalators, and that kind of like, and it's like all I could think of was, oh, all the warnings that my mother used to give me of escalators and being careful and watching your shoelaces and everything else. And here it is. Don't know how realistic it is, but that's another story. But it is one of those movies that, as you're watching it, they're dropping little clues where you know there's something else going on, right? There's a kind of a hidden story within this, so to speak, which they did reveal in that second half or late in the movie, which was, to me, was pretty good. You know, wasn't like they didn't go for anything really over the top ridiculous. It was pretty believable. It made sense. It really actually kind of shined a light on some of the movie and why things were happening, and everything. So that was pretty good. This thing did give an absolutely major, I can't remember, was it an ending? I don't think it was a credit scene. I think it was just right at the end where it's like, I don't know. I mean, I assume they're intending on making another one because, if they don't, they really left that door absolutely wide open and set up another. And if they don't get to see it through, I guess it's just whatever, an unnecessary scene. So anyway, that's the long about way to say this movie. It was fun. I don't think that I am probably the best viewer of this movie, but like I said, in that second half, maybe the last third, there was definitely some stuff there that was right up my wheelhouse that I really enjoyed. I felt like the movie shifted gears. It felt like this, I don't know, early 2000s teen comedy with some angst in it and this and that and blah 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 at the beginning, and I'm just like, ugh, this is not for me. But then it shifted gears, and it's like, okay, now let's put on our horror hat and take care of this. So I did enjoy that part. You know, I don't know, but the I mean, again, some of the characters annoyed me, not because they were bad characters, not because they were badly performed, just because I don't like those kind of people. But everybody in this was absolutely extraordinary, did a very, very good job. For me to be that invested where I absolutely hate these characters and some of the where I should have, that's what they were going for. And they really made me feel it. That's kudos to them for doing that, for eliciting that in me. So not a bad movie, very fun movie. Definitely had some really high moments towards the end. But if you're gonna watch it, if you're an old fart like me, or if this feels like it's not your forte, give it time. Give it some time because it does come around. And I'm not saying that was bad. I'm just saying that it comes around almost as an about face. It's almost like two different movies put together, and not in a bad way. It works. The story works. But they really shifted it into gear late in the movie and got going. So, all right. Enough rambling from me. Ike, what'd you think of Forbidden Fruits?
I thought it was quite fun. I did get craft vibes from this.
Yeah, there you go.
you
That's a good
know,
comparison. Yeah.
which pardon me, I think that was kind of where they were going with it a little bit. And I thought that the cast was pretty good. I think I like Victoria Pedretti. She was in the show You, which is really, really good. And Lily Reinhart. Heart. She's been in a few things too that I've seen. Like she was in the show Riverdale that I have seen a few episodes of. You know, honestly, it was pretty solid. Like you said, it kind of starts off a little like you don't really know what's going on, but they kind of feed you a couple small tidbits of like mystery as you start to kind of go along, and things start to become a little more sinister as the movie progresses. And as the ties start to degrade a little bit, and then like you said, in the third quarter, they really cranked it up a notch. I mean, there were some pretty intense moments, like you said, and there was a lot of fallout from some of the stuff that was happening, and it kind of makes you wonder, like, is what is happening, is whatever is happening in this movie, is it supernatural or is it not? Right? Is it coincidence? Is it supernatural? Is it just this? Is it just that? So there's a lot of ambiguity too that makes it scarier because you're like not quite sure what is happening. And overall, I think that they did a pretty decent job. The people who were in the movie, the actors, they did a really good job of acting the roles, like you said, that they were given. They were made to be sort of like these characters that you kind of want to hate, right? They're like annoying, and they're like preppy and this, that, and the other. And you're just like,
Very,
man, like,
very pretentious. Yeah, I mean.
yeah, very pretentious. And you're like, man, I do not like these characters one bit. And they do a very good job, but that's what they're supposed to be. That's the character it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be these characters who are not likable, who are being put into a position. And not all of them are unlikable. I think there's a couple characters that were pretty all right, but the ones that were meant to be unlikable were definitely unlikable. I think the big thing too, this movie is that it was definitely like a low budget like film, and I think that they used a lot of their movie, their money or budget to get some of these better known actresses and stuff from other series and shows. But I really think that they did the best with what they had. The effects were practical. A lot of the stuff that they did was very manageable and attainable using the what they had. The mall setting, I love movies set in malls. That is a soft spot for me. Like, I love obviously like Dawn of the Dead. I like this one. Any movie or video game that has a takes place in a mall is just so, I don't know, it's so uncanny to me because it's like the mall feels like this safe but unsafe space. And so it's like I like it, but it also kind of creeps me out because if I was in a mall at night locked in by myself, like, yeah, I don't know about that. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I think that they did a pretty good job with what they had, and I would go back and watch this again. I think that this is a movie that I'd rewatch, and I'd watch the sequel. Like you said, they kind of left it off on a little bit of a hanger. I think that that was definitely the move because I could see them making a couple more movies in the series, bringing some of the characters back to reprise roles and whatnot. But no, I definitely enjoyed it. I think that it was a solid movie, and especially for a streaming release. I don't think that this would have done as well if it were a straight theatrical release as well. I think that's a good thing to point out. It was good. It just was not the same as like an obsession. This wasn't an obsession. This was definitely a good streaming release, and I think it'll do pretty good on Shudder.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's just a, yeah, it's a fun movie that really has a lot of across the board appeal if people discover it. Yeah, here's hoping. All right then, that is Forbidden Fruits. Again, it is right now available on Shudder. Ike, let's rate this thing. Again, I enjoyed it. It was fun, but yeah, nothing over the top for me. So I'm just gonna give it the old 3 screams out of 5, right at the middle. Nice little solid fun movie. I would recommend anyone go give a watch. Ike, what about you?
Yeah, I would say it was this pretty middle of the line 3 out of 5 for me too. I mean, it was a good movie. I would rewatch it. I would encourage others to watch it, and especially since it was on Shudder, you can't really complain too much about what you get,
That's right. All right, then. That is Forbidden Fruits. And like we said earlier, next episode, we're going to go right back to Shudder and review the movie Touch Me. Which is available on July 3rd. I hear Touch Me. I always think of the Doors song. Come on, come on, come on, come on, touch me, baby. But of course, I'm a big Doors fan. So there you go. There's your little segment of Dave singing for this episode. But again, different connotation here, but we are going to review the movie Touch Me, which will be out on Shudder July 3rd. So give it a watch over your holiday weekend so that you can follow along in our vague discussions. Thank you to our wives and all of you listeners. And I say vague because we try not to give out details. We try not to give out spoilers.
That's
So
true.
it's rough. It's hard to be vague, but I can't do that. I can't ruin it for people, right? Especially movies like on Shudder, where not everybody's seen this yet. We probably could have talked the hell out of Obsession because apparently the whole world watched it. But man, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. So anyway, thank you. I had to feel like I had to defend myself there. Thank you to our wives and all of you listeners and followers for all of your support. And remember, the best way to support us, best ways, we got a couple here. Subscribe to us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just look for it. Listen to the screams or listen the number two in screams. That obviously is a big support of us. Then second, right, you listen to the show. So therefore, I hope you have subscribed to us. But if not, please do that. Subscribe to us. Share the episodes. Do all that to help network and spread the word. But on whatever platform you are following us, whatever platform you listen to us on, give us a follow, but give us a rating and a review if possible on that platform. Just takes a minute, but it is a huge, huge help for us in those podcast platform algorithms, which are very essential to getting some eyes on us. So help us out with that. We do appreciate it. Ike, before we close out, anything you want to add?
Oh man, just everybody stay safe out there. It's the 4th of July. Don't do anything stupid. Don't drink and drive. Try and close out the weekend with all 10 of your fingers if you can.
That's
And
right.
this is a good time of year just to hang out, have fun, and it's the 250th year of America. Despite the absolute tragedy that is our current situation, but yeah, hope everyone has a safe and fun holiday. And like I said, God bless those people who are ending this weekend with one or two less fingers, because it happens
Yes.
every year. You see those posts, and especially down here in Florida, I always see those posts pop up from the local newspapers, like so and so lost a finger, and well, that's not surprising. It is that time.
Have I ever told you my missing finger from fireworks story?
I don't think so.
Okay, real quick. Well, this has nothing to do with the word, but my dad was a police officer, right? Your listeners wouldn't know this. We've never talked about this. When I was a kid, right, my dad was he was a higher ranking police officer. Back then, not everybody had take home cars. My dad did because he was a higher rank. So my dad always had the ideal, the view, the opinion that since I have a take home car, if I'm out in this car, I'm on duty, right? Their salary, whatever. So he felt if I'm in an official vehicle provided to me, I'm always on duty. So we were out one day, just running errands or whatever, and there was a call on the radio about an accident behind a Burger King in town. Now, behind this Burger King, it goes downhill, and there's like a river creek that runs by. So it's like not behind a building, but it's down, and it's almost like a little mini wooded area. And there's this kind of river that flows there. We were very close, so we go. My dad gets out, goes, sees what's going on, and then comes and gets me. And here's my story. And we go down there, and because I was younger, it had better vision, more acute vision. I don't know what their thinking was. They had me down helping search for this kid's finger that he blew off with the firecrackers.
Oh man.
So thankfully, I didn't find the finger. Someone else did. They did find the finger. I don't know what happened to the kid, but they did find the finger. Thankfully, it wasn't me. But that's my missing finger from 4th of July. So
Well,
leave the.
very timely.
That's right. Leave the fireworks to the professionals, people. Just go to a show if you're going to do. Go somewhere where there's lots of that. Go, or if you're going to do it, goddamn, be safe. And here's my Independence Day thing that I tell everybody. So I'm going to tell everybody now. Please be mindful and aware of pets during this time of year because fireworks scared the bejesus out of pets. So please be mindful of not only yours but other people's pets when you are out there being a drunken pyromaniac in your fireworks. So there you go. But like you said, big year, right? 250 years, but we're not political, but it's like I feel a lot of guilt because I feel like, hey, this is a very big thing, but I don't really feel celebratory. So it's almost like, I do have some patriotism or whatnot, and love of my country, but it's right now it's again, I don't want anybody to get their hair up their ass, but it's kind of hard to be proud right now in my eyes.
It
So, and it, you feel conflicted and a little bit of guilt for that because I don't know. I don't want to get into it. Whatever. Just be careful, right? Enjoy some, grill out, go swimming, have fun, enjoy some time off, but be safe, as we always say. Actually, that just lead right into the ending. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.